14. Jeremiah chapter 13, and we'll look at verses 12 through 15 here, Jeremiah 13, and we're going through the book of Jeremiah, have been going through the book of Jeremiah in our on Sunday morning, and preaching from messages from here. Every now and then we'll take a break and have a different message, but today, somewhat related a little bit to the scripture reading, Proverbs 23, Jeremiah 13, verses 12 to 15, we see an interesting picture that Jeremiah is given to the Lord to present unto Israel and Judah. And it is, of course, this is during the time in which, prior to the Babylonian captivity, prior to the time in which God's judging his people, judging the nation of Israel for their, and chastening them for their indifference toward him and for their idolatry, for all that they have done and just turning away pretty much from God. And part of the way that he is dealing with them is that as they yield themselves to other gods and as they yield themselves to their indifference toward the true and the living God, he is causing them to even be more blinded. In other words, he's allowing them to, they go themselves for a while and they're going contrary to God's will, and then he's allowing things to happen that are going to just make it worse, that are going to compound it. And it's all, and it's in the chastening hand of the Lord out of love for them, but he's allowing some things to happen. And one of the things he's allowing to happen here that is pictured is that he is going to allow them, their families, to start breaking up. He's going to allow that things are going to happen where that there's such disruption within the homes of the Hebrews that it will just be an internal struggle and a constant war within the homes where things are just not going to be well, not going to be good. And he describes that with an interesting picture. And it is a picture of a drunken brawl. It is a picture of a drunken brawl that the scripture speaks about here. And want to think about that just for a moment. We do think about, and this is a picture, of course, is we're not talking about literally a drunken brawl, but it is a picture of what is going on and what's going to happen. Verses 12 to 15, let's read it. And then we'll look at a few verses of scripture that deal with what he's talking about here as far as the picture is concerned. In Jeremiah chapter 13, let's start with verse number 12 here. Therefore, thou shalt speak unto them this word. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Think about a picture here that's painted of a drunken brawl, but it's a picture of the condition that God's allowed to happen unto his people Israel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, thank you for your blessings to us today, and we thank you for the word, the opportunity to look into it today. And Lord, we know it's powerful. We know it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We know, Lord, that it's a wonderful hammer that breaks rocks and pieces, and that hearts, Lord, hardened toward you can be made tender. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy and how that you deal with us and how you care for us. And Lord, you're just the unconditional love that you give to your people that is so abundant, so wonderful. And we just praise you for it. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for loving us even when we're so unlovely, and ask your blessings upon us today. Your will would be done in each of our hearts. You'd lead us. Bless, Lord, with every need that everyone here has. Lord, we all are needy. We all, Lord, have very difficult problems in our lives, and we just pray for your hand of mercy and grace and your provision to be upon us at this time. We'll give you the praise for what you do. Encourage us through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see a picture here, and the picture is one that, in which he's using wine and bottles full of wine that the scripture speaks about here. And of course, the bottles at that time were like clay pots and such as this, and so they were very brittle and would have easily been broken. But Isaiah chapter 5, if you turn back a couple of turn back a few pages to the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah, and you find there a passage of scripture, interesting, verse number 11, chapter 5, verse 11, a warning: woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. The scripture talks about how the wine has a tendency of inflaming people. It'll inflame a person. It'll cause a person to be consumed in a sense. And what I mean consumed as far as their wits, as far as their judgment is very definitely blurred and all. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, Galatians the 5th in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 21, if you want to turn there, I'll just read it, but it says envying. It talks about all these things of the works of the flesh. Here they are: adultery, fornication, verse 19, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And obviously, all of us have participated in some of these things, and yet, by the grace of God, we know that we don't deserve the kingdom of God, we don't deserve to be inheritors of the kingdom of God, but by his grace and through his mercy and through the work of Jesus Christ, we've been delivered. But we find, though, he does mention here that part of the works of the flesh are drunkenness, and so obviously wine is going to bring about, it brings drunkenness. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1, wine is a mocker, the scripture says. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Strong drink is raging. It's like a brawl. It's like it brings about when we think about a brawl, we think about drunkenness. I mean, it just goes together. Because wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, as the scripture says. And so, it what's it doing? Well, it's mocking people. Wine has a tendency of mocking people because it deceives them. It deceives them into thinking that everything is going to be okay. It deceives them into thinking they can drink some and it won't bother them. And eventually they drink enough and it does bother them. It does mess things up. It messes up lives. It messes up families. It messes up a lot of things. The Word of God in Proverbs 23, in the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs, we just read a portion of Proverbs 23 here. And only because that's where we were in Proverbs, but it just so happens that that's where we read now. And look at verse number 31 and 32. And of course, we saw there, who hath woe, verse 29, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes. Kind of common sense. These things are things that result from drinking alcohol. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, not look upon it with desire, is what he's talking about. When it moveth itself aright at the last, and it's talking about being fermented, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall... He talks about how your judgment is gone, and you get sick too, as verse number 35 says. You think you've been stricken, and they say when you weren't sick, and they They have beaten me and I felt it not. And when shall I awake? I'll seek it yet again. There's this the dependency that happens that takes place with alcohol and such. But so what we see here is we're just reading about the picture that Jeremiah is using. Jeremiah uses this picture of how that this drunkenness causes a lot of problems. It causes difficulties, it causes problems in life. And he says, hey, you know what? The Lord says, I'm gonna fill you all with wine like as if you were wine bottles. Filled, all these wine bottles filled up. And you're all these wine bottles. The whole people will be like bottles of wine, totally filled with effects similar to drunkenness, is what he's referring to here. And so verses 12 to 14, what we see here is this drunken brawl is determined. It is something that he's saying, hey, this is going to happen, but I'm warning you it's going to happen. So if you repent, if you turn from your ways, then it won't happen. But the warnings are, here's what can take place, here's what's going to happen. He gives us the warning. It's kind of like when the Lord gives us a warning concerning alcohol. That we can take it or leave it, but the fact of the matter is he's given us a warning about it. And the Word of God says in verse number 12 or 13 here of our text, verse 12, therefore, thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? So every bottle is going to be filled with wine. Well, what are the bottles? So it says, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land. So it's not filling bottles with wine, but I'm going to fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit on David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. Not physical drunkenness, although that surely probably happened alongside of all of this, but what he's referring to is a kind of a drunkenness that is where they're just lost control of judgment, where they're not thinking clearly, they're not thinking straight at all. In a lot of ways, our country in which we live in, it seems that there's a lot of that going on where people just aren't thinking straight, aren't thinking very clearly. We have a very terrible problem in our society today where that families break up and fathers are not fathering anymore. Fathers are not being dads anymore. And the whole people here are going to be like these bottles of wine filled, and they're going to just be, it's like the Lord is saying, I'm just going to take these bottles and I'm just going to just dash them. I'm going to break them all up. All these bottles are going to be broken all together. They're going to be the life of the individuals are going to be shattered. The lives of these people are going to be shattered as the Lord brings his judgment upon them. He's going to cause this to happen just by them being like drunkards, having a lack of discernment, having a lack of understanding of what's going on, having just this, they're just in a cloud. they're just loopy, so to speak. And so he speaks there in verses 12 and 13 what's going to happen. And like wine bottles can be slammed together to either be broken or just to be destruction of these lives, the Lord would dash families apart, starting with the fathers and the sons. And he speaks about this as a principal means of which, a principal way in which families get broken. And a lot of times it's fathers and sons. And the Word of God says there, in verse number 14, and I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together. So I'm going to take the father and the son in a family, and I'm going to dash them together. What's he talking about? Well, this is judgment, obviously. It's chastisement, obviously, but it is strong chastisement. It is strong judgment against these people because of their idolatry, because of the ways that they have gone away from God and left God behind. Well, now it's going to be, they're living their life. If they want to live their life this way and they want to live their life on the vain gods and they want to live their life contrary to, out of the Lord's will, then what are they going to have? They're going to fill themselves up with, like as if they were filling themselves up with alcohol, and they're going to end up being drunk to the extent that they are without good spiritual, moral judgment and wisdom and understanding. Say, how is it that a person, that a child of God, can do such strange things and such immoral things that they can do? Because children of God do immoral things. Children of God do things that sometimes are so out of character and so contrary to what you would think that they'd be able to do. And sometimes it's because they have walked away from God and they're not living for God, not living close to the Lord. And as a result, what's happening is they're feeling what was happening to Israel. They're feeling this lack of discernment. They're feeling this lack of judgment, and they start doing things that are unreasonable, that are completely unreasonable, sometimes immoral, unethical, and so they find themselves with broken homes, which they would never want, which they would never desire to have. You know, nobody wants their son to be their enemy. Nobody wants their father to be their enemy. Nobody wants members of the family to be at odds with each other. It isn't something people say, hey, that's why I'm going to marry you. You know, I'm going to marry you so that, you know, so we can raise a family that hates each other. Never do people think that way. You know, it's ridiculous. Nor do when we get to, you know, okay, I'm going to be I'm a grandfather now. I got one grandchild. What a blessing. She's the most beautiful grandchild in the world. Just to let you know, I know I'm a little biased, but it's true. Anyway, so what do I want for her? What do her parents, my daughter and son-in-law, want for her? They want peace and joy and blessing, and they want her to have, perhaps to have a brother and a sister, and that they'll be at peace with each other, and that they'll love each other, and they'll be concerned for each other. And they want their dad to be, they want for him to be in good tone, good terms with the children forever. Same with the grandchildren, and so on. And I'm on very good terms with that granddaughter. Anyway, and she's going to be spoiled, I know. But anyway, that got me off the subject, so now I've totally lost my place. But what's happening here is that the family is being just destroyed for lack of judgment. The families are just being, they're just being destroyed. He said, I'm going to destroy them. So he says, verse 14, the end of the verse. So I'm not going to have pity. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy. The effects of wine, if you will, are so merciless and pitiless. Wine's a mocker, stronger is raging, who's sort of deceived thereby is not wise. The effects of it are so merciless and pitiless. And so God would use this picture to describe what was going to happen to Israel, the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom of Judah. He's going to destroy their lives by disintegrating the families, by messing up the families, by causing that the families are, people are at odds with each other. But it's, who's doing this? They're doing it to themselves. And God's judgment is coming as a result, and it is an appropriate judgment that God's bringing upon these people for what they've done, for the sins, for the wickedness, for the turning against God, for their idolatry, for their pride. You know, pride sometimes is it can be one of the worst enemies of God's people that they could possibly have. Thinking that they're okay, thinking everything's fine, thinking that they're better than other people, and thinking that they've got, you know, that they've got this, they're at least they're walking above on a plane above other people in this world. Pride can just really get us. It can get us bad. And when pride gets a hold of us, what happens is we start thinking like that we're independent. We start thinking like that we can make it on our own, and we make judgments. So we start making judgments that are not based upon God's direction in our life and where He would lead us, and not based upon praying for His will to be done, and not based upon looking to the Word of God to assure ourselves that we're still at peace with God concerning the decisions that we make, but rather just winging it. Winging it. Just living, making decisions, thinking, well, I'm a child of God. I can decide what I want to decide. I've got liberty. I've got freedom. I can do what I want to do. And the problem is that sometimes is, what is that? It in a sense, it's pride. In a sense, it's pride welling up within us, thinking that we don't need God. We don't need His direction. We don't need His leadership. We don't need... And how much do we really love God when that's the way we're walking? Whenever we feel like we don't really need Him. You know, if a husband and wife start talking like they don't need each other, then that it's problems, right? I mean, it's trouble when that happens. Well, that love is going to disintegrate. The love between us and God is to be strong. It is to be a fellowship with God. It is to be a communion with God. We're in a covenant relationship with God as God's people. And in that covenant relationship, as though it were marriage, we're to have love for Him as He so desperately loves us, as He so wonderfully, recklessly loves us. He loves us so dearly. And our love ought to reflect that love. Our love should be like His. And what's happening here, these people, God would say to Israel, yea, have I loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He made them His people. He loved them so dearly. And now they're not walking with Him. Now they're living in pride. And I say it's pride because verse 15 warns us about that. And then the verses following are also going to talk about pride. But verse number 15, the scripture says, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. The Lord has told you something here. He gave you a warning here. Don't be proud. You better listen. You need to listen to what God says. Listen to what God says because things can fall apart if we don't. Listen to what God says because things in our life as God's people, we claim to be the Lord's people. We need to be a people who are close to the Lord. We need to be praying to Him. We need to be seeking His face. We need to be listening to Him, heeding His word and will and worshiping Him. God will always give His people warning and space to repent. He'll always give His people plenty of time and plenty of warning. And He'll give His people... He is so long-suffering. God is far more long-suffering than any of us could ever be, could ever possibly be. But long-suffering does not mean that God is infinitely permissive. It doesn't mean He is infinitely to His people out of love for them, out of wanting what is best for them. Sometimes He brings a storm in their life. Sometimes He brings things happen in their life where the things start falling apart. What does it cause them to do? It causes them to get back to God. It causes them to see. It causes them to say, you know what? I've been living in such a way as that I'm a little bit independent and not depending on God as I ought to be. And I'm seeing that my way is kind of causing things to fall apart. Families are going to deteriorate in Israel. Would end up deteriorating in Israel. Fathers and sons are going to be at odds with each other. Family members are going to be family, the home's just going to be broken up there. And why is that? Well, it would be to show them something. God works things in our lives and causes sometimes suffering in our lives and difficulties and losses and all in our lives to shake us up as his people, because he loves us, to shake us up and cause us to say, you know what? I need God more than I thought I needed him. I need the Lord. I need to walk with him. I need to be living for him. So God will always give his people plenty of warning, plenty of space to repent. The chief obstacle to repentance and to turning and to walking with the Lord and doing his will is pride. Pride is the chief obstacle. Pride is what keeps us from wanting to do sometimes what God would have us to do. Acknowledging guilt is not easy, is it? It's humbling. It's extremely humbling. And I don't like doing it. Often far too humbling for us. And yet God's so good to us. He loves his people. He's so caring of his people. He gets us through. He blesses us. He cares for us. He continues to sustain us and meet all our needs. He loves us and he works everything out to our good. And sometimes the things that he's working out to our good are things that we don't that don't feel good. Are things that are him breaking us a little bit. Him causing us to see how we need him. The decision was to them was humble yourself, or I'm going to cause that your life be miserable. Humble yourself, or your families are going to be destroyed. He's given them this message. He's clear on this message. He said, here's what's going to happen. It's just as if the Lord was saying to us, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He's saying, look, you keep going down the path of idolatry and immorality that you're going down with to the people of Israel and how wicked they were at this time. And they're going to be in bad shape. This message would continue into Jeremiah's next message here as it pertained to humility, as it pertained to humbly listening, as it pertained to putting away pride. And we'll read on and we'll see that here. But today we're just looking at this a drunken brawl that the Lord is going to allow to break out in Israel that's going to cause all kinds of problems. And the Lord says, hey, I'm gonna make this happen. Warning you, giving you fair warning, hear and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Listen to what he says. Heed him. Turn. So we look at that passage and we think, God does deal with us in amazingly strange ways, doesn't he? He does. Sometimes we don't understand. Why is this happening? Why are you allowing something to happen in my life? And you think, it just doesn't make any sense. Why? But Arm was saying earlier this morning, he said something about the hurricane down in, like, that came through the Bahamas and hit so hard and just destroyed homes, destroyed lives, took lives. And you ask yourself the question, why, God, would you allow this something like this to happen? So sometimes you just can't explain it. Sometimes it's just beyond our explanation to understand. But God, in all his infinite wisdom, is still working everything out for his glory and for our good. He's still doing that. And sometimes it's beyond comprehension. But it is what he's doing. And we can trust him. And he loves us. And he cares for us deeply. And he is working to call us and to draw us closer to himself. And to be closer to him means to be what? Unhappy? No. To be closer to him means joy for our life. It means fullness of joy. At his right hand, that's what there is. It's away from him where there's misery. It's away from him where there is grave difficulties and hardships in our lives. But hey, you know what? God is still loving us and he's still caring for us, even when he takes us through these hard times. He takes us through the difficulties. He loves us. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer today. And appreciate everyone being here today. It is a special blessing to have Patty, right? Get that right, Patty? It's a blessing to have you with us today. And oh, how dearly we loved your dad.